Well, if you've been coming to this service for any length of time, you're probably wondering, why on earth is Lyle wearing a tie? Well, it has to do with my opportunity to dedicate my little granddaughter in the first service today. So there she is, and yes, I'm proud. And it was indeed a privilege earlier today to stand with my son and daughter-in-law as they dedicated her to the Lord. And it's a day, really, that started over a year ago. Donovan and Kirsten took us out for supper. We had helped them move, and they were going to say thank you. We thought that's all there was to it. And then they pull out a gift, and I open it, and it's this kind of mug that says, "World's Greatest Grandpa." I guess I could have thought, well, it must have been a sale at the dollar store. But I kind of caught on pretty quick that there was more to it than that. And indeed, from that point on, we were very much living in anticipation until on September 27th, little Ava Rose came into our lives. I had a lot of anticipation toward the day, definitely. Anticipated the day I would hold her. But even with what people were telling me about being a grandpa, I don't know that I was prepared for just kind of the breadth and the depth of the emotions. Wonder and amazement, which I feel so often as I hold babies, but there was something deeper. A warmth, a joy, a contentment, a sense of protection, and like I'd do anything for her. And in some ways, what's weird is I've had four children. And it's not like I hadn't had those feelings before, but there's just something about being 20, 30 years older. And there's less anxiousness, maybe, less sense of responsibility, less sense of inadequacy and fear. I remember holding Donovan for the first time going, "I'm going to break him. I don't know what I'm doing." And that's kind of all gone. And I've got to admit, too, and I'm not proud of this at all. I know in the early days with my children, I was just so preoccupied with everything else going on. I often just couldn't give myself to enjoy this time. And here I am holding my little precious granddaughter. And as I'm enjoying the time and looking at her, there's a deeper level of reflection going on in my heart and my head. And this sense, not an audible voice, but truly a sense from God that said, "Lyle, pay attention. Lyle, pay attention. There's something here in how you're feeling and what you're thinking that I want you to see about my relationship with you." And I've thought a lot about that. And it was not much longer. I ended up at the gift of being given a cabin for a few days out at Lac St. Anne early in the year, thinking through where I'm going to be preaching and this whole theme of with. What does it look like to walk with Jesus? That's what we've been talking about. Thinking about where to go with sermons, and now that we're into the Easter season, the calendar has turned to Lent, and just sensing it's time to talk about the stories of life of Jesus. What does it look like to walk with Jesus to the events of Easter? And kind of putting this together with where I'm at with these thoughts with Ava took me to a story of Jesus where I want to start today. And it's a story of Jesus and the little children. That's where it starts. Luke 18, verse 15. Just let me read some of it here for you. It says, "People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them." Now, I have been in the Bible years and years and years, and I'd never seen the word babies. I always thought it was little children. So I'm going, is it a good translation? Did someone just take some liberties with the translation? So I grabbed some of my resources that took me back to the original language. And here's what's interesting. The word really is babies. That's the right English word. The word that is used here in the Greek is the same word they would have used at the time for infants, both brand new infants, even unborn infants. If that was ever talked about in the New Testament, it's this word. or very young toddlers. So here, literally, Jesus, people are bringing the littlest to him, babies to him. Ava, that's what we're talking about, to him. And it says that he placed his hands on them. That means he blessed them. And we'll look more at the story, but what's interesting, as his disciples, his close followers thought, well, this is a waste of Jesus' time, Jesus is acting quite the opposite. He said, no, this is far more than a waste. In fact, this is something all of you need to pay attention to. These little children in my interaction, pay attention. Why? Verse 17, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, and that's a different word. It is a little bit older, but it's in that context of the babies, will never enter it. If you want to enter into life with God and live an experience of life with God, this life under Jesus as King, under his authority, enjoying all that he offers, there's something about how Jesus is now interacting with these littlest that instructs that. That in many ways, these little children become living parables of God's kingdom. And we want to pay attention to that. And I think the pay attention, Lyle, is not just for me. I think all of us need to pay attention to these littlest of parables. Say, God, what do you want to show us about entering into life with you, living life with you, enjoying, experiencing the fullness of life with you? And he would say, well, look at the littlest, because there's a few things that I want you to catch. First is this, life with God, like the little ones, it recognizes God's unconditional love. To live life with God, it begins by recognizing God's unconditional love for us. Earlier I talked about the feelings I was just experiencing holding my little granddaughter. Warmth, joy, contentment. Do anything for her kind of feelings. And if you were to use one word to summarize it, I think that word would be love. There's this sense of overwhelming love. When my son talked as part of the dedication, he said when he first saw Ava, there's some part of his heart woke up. Love. And here's the catch. Ava had done nothing to elicit that from me. Or her, or him. She did nothing. All she did is was born. Fact is, I'll talk about in a bit, she comes with a lot of needs. But I think in this passage, what we need to pay attention to is the little ones brought to Jesus in contrast to all that the disciples thought were the important people he should pay attention to. These littlest ones could do nothing for him. Let's go back to verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. For the disciples, Jesus' time and his attention and the love he gave had to be given to those who were worthy to respond. Or somehow could earn it, or through their response, build up maybe their resume as those going out representing Jesus. And it was so transactional. You do something, then we see Jesus is worthy to do something back, and then you respond, and love becomes a transaction. And Jesus rebukes them, the word. That's a strong word. Jesus really gets after this kind of thinking. Because what he's saying is, look at these little ones. There's nothing they can transact with me. And that's the point. I love them. Because I made them. This love is unconditional. It's not transactional. And it's the message of the New Testament that Jesus came to a world that had nothing to transact. In fact, a world that had actually done the opposite and thumbed their nose up at Jesus and God. John, when he talks about Jesus coming, John 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Okay, so that's saying when Jesus came as a light from God, the world he came into was dark. Had turned their back on him. God had made us to live with him. And rather than transacting back, we moved away, dark. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Didn't recognize him. That's a choice. Don't want to. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. You are absolutely walking out of my love, but God says, I'm coming down anyway, and I'm just offering it, and all you got to do is turn and receive it. And what does he call this coming down? John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. And then verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That verse itself is saying God didn't come transactionally to say, okay, all of you, here's the line, toe the line, or you're condemned. He said, you know what? You, by your action in turning away, have condemned yourselves. I'm just coming to offer a way back because I love you. It's a story I know I've told before, but it just hit me as I was thinking about this. It's the story of Brennan Manning. Some of you may have read his stuff. He was a priest, struggled with alcoholism, all kinds of other things through his life. But out of that came to know God's unconditional love. And most of his books talk about it. In one, he tells a story of growing up. His high school years, he had a friend named Ray. He and Ray did everything together, everything good friends do in high school, graduated together. It was a time where war was on. Ended up with Ray, both of them, in the army, serving together, and one night in a foxhole, the same foxhole on the front. As they're talking that night, a live grenade all of a sudden is thrown into the foxhole. Brennan's friend Ray looks at Brennan, gives him a smile, throws himself on that grenade. It explodes, Ray dies, Brennan lives. As Brennan goes into the priesthood, he is asked to consider taking the name of a saint. His friend's last name was Brennan. It was Ray Brennan, so whose name did he take? Could think of no saint other than Brennan. Out of that story, one night he's at his friend Ray's mom. Okay, talking to Ray's mom and talking a lot about growing up with Ray and their relationship and all of that. And then Brennan made this odd comment. He said, you know, I really do wonder if Ray loved me. Mother got up from her chair and with her finger said, how much more could he do to show you he loved you? Brennan Manning thought about it and then said, I wonder, we know Mary, the mother of Jesus, was present at the cross. And had anyone come up to her at that time and said, does Jesus really love me? Does God really love me? Would she not have simply pointed and said, how much more could he have done? And all you had done as part of humanity is walked out on him. And so as I'm holding Ava, this sense came, Lyle, can you believe that your feelings to her, your commitment to her right now is just the beginning of my love for you. That's where witness with God starts. God's unconditional love. And if that's his posture to us, the next lesson from the living parable of the baby is around our posture toward him, and it's simply this. Life with God then acknowledges our absolute dependence on this God who loves us so much, our absolute dependence. Being a grandparent's kind of cool. Everyone said if, you know, you're gonna wonder why you didn't do it first, and that indeed is true. Because, you know, being a grandparent, you get a lot of the perks, and especially grandpas. The expectations are kind of low on grandpas, I'm finding. And even at the hospital, being there and enjoying this brand new infant, but knowing that pretty soon my son and daughter-in-law are going to take him home. And she's going to continue to be a bundle of joy. But they're going to discover she's also a bundle of need. And that's just the way it is. Babies are absolutely dependent. Human babies are absolutely dependent on outside intervention for their very survival. They can't feed themselves. They can't keep themselves warm, can't dress themselves, swaddle themselves. They can mess a diaper, they can't change it. Absolute need. Might that be what Jesus is getting at here? We come back to Luke 18, verse 16. Jesus called the children to him. Said, let the children come to me. No, they can't add to my resume. No, they can't give me anything. But let them come to me. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Those who actually know they have need and just receive. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. In the context of this chapter, I think what Jesus is saying, if you think you are not absolutely dependent on God's love and what God did when he sent his son Jesus to the cross, you don't get the kingdom. And if you think what you do earns your way in, you're going to get a big surprise. And he's just told a story that even makes that stronger. And verse 15, the story starts, people were also bringing. Okay, so also ties it to the story ahead. And the story ahead, Jesus sees some people pretty confident in all they've done for God. Of course they're part of his kingdom, and he wants to break through that. So he says, I want to tell you a story. There's two people who went to the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee, and everyone's going, yes, the good guy, the super spiritual, the law keeper. We kind of think of Pharisees as bad, but when Jesus told the story, they were the heroes. And a tax collector, and everyone's going, ooh, bad, black cape, villain, embezzler, takes my money, works for Rome. And in their mindset, the story obviously is going to end badly. For the villain and good for the hero. But Jesus goes on to say, wait a minute. Pharisee didn't kind of have it understood right. He went more to the temple and he said, thank you, God, that I'm not the villain. Thank you, I'm not like him. You know I tithe. You know I fast. I'm super spiritual. But Jesus goes on and says, but let's listen in. What is a tax collector praying? Verse 13, the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He's saying, God, I can't feed myself spiritually. I can't change my spiritually dirty diaper. I am in desperate need before you. And now, verse 14, the great reversal. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified, made right with God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is such a reversal. And then the very next story, unless you're like a child, and you realize, spiritually, I'm bankrupt. I got nothing. We keep thinking we can earn it, and we can't. You know, I think for a lot of us, we would go, well, I'm not the Pharisee. I think this is where something from Tim Keller challenges us. He says, yeah, I think we all know we can't do it, but unfortunately, instead of coming to poverty of spirit, a lot of us, we settle at big middle class in spirit. The middle class. I know I'm dependent on the system, but I still work hard. And the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the babies. Blessed are the tax collectors who say, have mercy on me. There's so much freedom here. So much freedom here. Because rather than me trying to be with God and prove myself and show myself all that I'm doing to earn my position, I can just be. I know that God loves me unconditionally. I've turned to the cross. I've received it because I know I got no other hope. And I can just walk with God and he can start helping me grow up from the inside out. That's what walking with him is. Well, there's one more little thought as I was holding Ava that I think comes out of this passage about being a child. And it now has to do more with how do we more deeply experience this with life of dependence. And I believe it's this. This kind of with life as a baby rests in God's infinite wisdom. It rests in God's infinite wisdom. I think back, especially when Ava, 1 or 2 months, right early, when Grandpa finally, it was his turn to hold her for a while. And I'm looking at her, and sometimes the eyes are closed, sometimes they're open, sometimes there's a coo, sometimes there's a smile. And again, I'm thinking, what are you thinking, little girl? What are you thinking? Then it hit me. She doesn't even have a vocabulary to think with. And it's like, but she's so content. She had no clue about this world around her and all of its threats and all that, but there's a contentment in the arms of those who care. And all this took me back to a story I've shared a lot, but it just seems so appropriate today, and it has to do with Ava's dad, Donovan. A day outside a hospital in Calgary, when around the age of 16, Donovan fell off a cliff. We learned about Stars Air Ambulance because they took him from Canmore to Calgary. And after being checked out, the doctor kind of came in and said, he went through the litany of broken bones, including the skull. And he was in surgery. And kind of being an introvert, I just had to get away. I went outside and I looked up, and it was a gift from God that night. It was a very clear night, and I'm looking up at these stars. And again, it's not a voice, but just this deep sense that, Lyle, I put the stars in place. I got this. It wasn't assurance that Donovan was going to be okay or live. But it was definitely, Lyle, I've got this. These years later, as I'm holding Ava, I realize she doesn't have a vocabulary. understand all that's going around here. And basically, I didn't have a vocabulary that night outside that hospital to understand all that God knew. Because I think what he was telling me was this: Lyle, I speak universe. And I know you don't. And that's okay. Trust me. Trust me. I think part of this posture of his child is realizing, even as a child doesn't even have a vocabulary to know what's going on, they just surrender control to the parent and they find rest. God often, often, often is inviting us to see the infinity of his universal vocabulary and know it's way bigger than ours. God said this to his people in Isaiah 30, verse 15. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord, sovereign, wise, over all, Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you'd have none of it. It was a time when Israel had all these enemies coming down on them and it didn't look good. But God had invited them, trust me, lean on me, I'm bigger than the nations. But rather than do that, they wanted to take control and they looked around at other nations they could ally with, and they did. But those nations ended up eventually destroying them. And it's this profound contrast between rest in me versus think you're in control and try and fix everything. Think you know universe and you don't. I shared earlier with my own kids how I regret the times I was so preoccupied trying to control circumstances around me, put the weight of the church on my shoulders, put the weight of other things on my shoulders that were never mine. And instead of rest was anxiety. Thinking I speak universe, I don't. And I think one of God's lessons from the living parable of the littlest is we don't speak universe. We don't have that vocabulary. God does. So I don't know what today looks absolutely out of control. I think God is just saying, what, just surrender to me. And then as you sense me leading, follow. It's not like we're passive. We just give up the illusion of control. And we follow and we trust. Well, that's some of the things that I think God was saying in my heart when he said, Lyle, pay attention. And he took me to that little word babies that I'd never seen before in Luke 18. And I think what he's saying there is broader than just me, but it's this to all of us as we hold a child in our arms who is helpless and feel a love for this little one. Can we see it as a picture of God's love for us? When we hold this little one and we see the helplessness, the need, the absolute dependence, can we see our own posture before God and give up the illusion that we could ever earn anything and simply receive his salvation? And then as we look at that little one and wonder what on earth they're thinking when they don't even have a vocabulary, can we see in our own selves a much broader chasm between our understanding and God's? And surrender to our loving Heavenly Father what we're so uptight about. Jesus said, let these littlest come to me. And take a look. Because in them you see what it means to walk with me as part of my kingdom. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us these very intimate pictures of your Son. Thank you for stories that just reverse the values. God, today there may be those of us here that just can hardly picture you loving us at all because we've messed up so bad and we're living under this transactional lie that we have to somehow overcome our past. And you say, hey, I come as light to darkness, not as light to light. I love you. God, for any here who somehow think life with you is up to us, earning it, and feel the weight of that, may we just hear you say, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Looks like that. Little baby. And they can't do anything for themselves. So they let the parent do it. Would you let me, through my Son, forgive you, restore you, and then lead you? So you walk with me not to prove it or earn it, but to grow into deeper understanding and maturity. And I wonder how many of us, and I know this is where I'm at so often, think we have a vocabulary to control our circumstances, and frankly, we don't know in our world what the next minute will hold. But you do. And in the chaos of it all, you are sovereignly moving history toward your end. God, teach us to rest in it and surrender to you. Again, we're going to sing about this river. And the picture I get is you surrounded by little children holding a baby in your arms, and there's this smile on your lips, and there's this gleam in your eye, and it's like flowing from you as this river of love and provision and wisdom. And you're saying to all the adults in the group, these little ones get it. Why don't you jump in too? The water's just fine. Let's stand together.
Through the I am going through that rain.
close, have our prayer team available. And if you want to pray with them about anything, just come into God's presence with someone they'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you're more comfortable, or someone you know sitting around you, just tap them on the shoulder, find somewhere, and jump into that river of God's very real presence. Father, thank you so much for this love. Father, tomorrow our province celebrates Family Day. But what a gift to be part of a family with you, God, as a heavenly parent, Father, unconditionally loved. We don't have a grid for that in our culture. We need your Spirit to take it deeper. And then, God, may we rest in that. Surrender to your love. Rest in your wisdom. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like. God, teach us to live as the littlest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thousands of songs have been sung, stories of love.